But first to North Korea and keeping up with the nation's leader, Kim Jong-un. Now, this Kim is the latest in a dynasty that's ruled that country for 60 years, and he appears to be solidifying his hold on power. This has been helped, it would seem, by the execution of his uncle and mentor, Yang Song-taek. But the unexpected power play, that lethal power play, has renewed questions about the stability of his leadership, cast a fresh spotlight on that eccentric and mysterious Kim dynasty. For more on this, let's talk that through. Dr. Leonid Petrov is Korean Studies lecturer at the Australian National University. Dr. Petrov, welcome.
Good morning, Jonathan.
60 years in one family, that's an extraordinary accomplishment. Can you just give us a quick sketch of that Kim family tree?
Well, it's a rather long story because the dynasty was established in 1948 when Stalinist Soviet Union won the Great Patriotic War against Germany, then turned against Japan. And Korea at that time had been the colony of Japan, and somebody had to rule Korea. But the Russians and Americans could not decide who would rule the country, so that's why they decided to divide the peninsula. It was a tragedy for the Korean people because for about 2,000 years the peninsula was one unit, like one economic unit. It was unimaginable to divide the same blood, same language, same culture people. And two regimes were established in the north and in the south, and they were increasingly antagonistic because the Cold War was just on its rise, and Stalin appointed captain of the Soviet army, Kim Il-sung, who was the grandfather of the current leader, Kim Jong-un. So Kim went to Pyongyang with his family, his wife and two sons, Yura and Shura. Yura was known as Kim Jong-il later, the father of Kim Jong-un. Shura, well, tragically, the youngest son drowned in the pond, so they had a second child was Tanya. Tanya Kim, known as Kim Kyung-hee, the younger sister of Kim Jong-il. So the family was growing. Kim Il-sung had the younger brother. He was ruling the North Korean state according to the best traditions of Stalinist Soviet Union, purges, show trials, war against South Korea. So everything was in the family. But it was the military campaign was unsuccessful. So the North Korean state, known as Democratic People's Republic, stayed in the same borders for the remaining 60 years. But the dynasty was growing after Kim the First, Kim the Second. Kim Jong-il was ruling the country for 17 years until 2011 when he died suddenly. But before Kim Jong-il died, it was interesting, he appointed his youngest son, Kim Jong-un, but whom nothing was known except for that he was educated in Switzerland. So Kim Jong-un, the current leader of North Korea, is surprisingly a Western-educated person. He speaks a little bit of English, a little bit of French and German because he studied in an international school in Switzerland. And people actually believe that Kim III would be associated with some changes, progress, some kind of perestroika of North Korean style, but it didn't happen.
I mean, and that seems increasingly less likely. He would seem to have learned the lessons, Dr. Petrov, of the dynasty, that power is maintained through, you know, a ruthless application of military might and fear.
Well, absolutely. The regime, the Kim's regime, was established 60 years ago as the bulwark of communism in the Far East. The People's Republic of China was established actually 1 year after the DPRK, the North Korean state. The idea was to spread communism across the world, and Stalin believed that North Korea would be the bastion of communism. So people of North Korea actually since then knew very little about the rest of the world. They believe that the world revolution is going on, and Soviet Union and China, the main patrons of the Soviet of North Korea, and sooner or later communists would prevail everywhere. So the propaganda machine in North Korea has been working for these 60 years just only in one way. There's only a couple of newspapers which replicate each other. One TV channel, the Pyongyang Central TV, in North Korean capital, a couple of radio channels, and people simply don't have any alternative point of view.
But I wonder if that can be maintained in this modern world. I mean, we've seen that story repeated in repressive regimes all over the place, that ultimately it's in modern times very difficult to keep that tight control on information.
It is very difficult, but North Koreans surprisingly managed to keep the system intact. It's absolutely insulated, and it looks like for the last, say, 50 years, North Koreans knew very little about the rest of the world until, say, Soviet Union collapsed, China went through a series of reforms, and the trickle of information actually started going to North Korea. But North Korean regime managed to keep the information very, this information flow very tight, and that's why they needed constantly to keep the degree of international tensions very high. So that's why the regime, I believe, can survive only under two conditions. First, it's kind of isolation from information streams across the world, so that's why in North Korea you can't read any foreign newspapers, no access to the internet, World Wide Web simply doesn't exist. And second condition for the regime's survival is the constant crisis. And this crisis continued for the last 60 years, and we saw very graphically last year when young Marshal Kim Jong-un was actually scrapping the armistice agreement with South Korea, threatening the United States with a nuclear attack, and I believe that that's the only condition under which regime can explain its legitimacy, first of all, that Kim's dynasty protects the people of North Korea from the hostile environment. They can also explain the poor socioeconomic conditions of North Korea by saying that we're in the middle of the war, we have to tighten our belts. But surprisingly, last year, the centennial anniversary of the founding father of North Korea, Kim Il-sung, was celebrated in North Korea. And somehow North Koreans managed to celebrate the year of prosperity. Mm. The question is where the money comes from. And it seems that it was not really understood that North Korea, which is under sanctions, which doesn't have much of international trade, which still has a lot of natural resources, and it looks like the most of trade, about 85% of its foreign trade goes with China, simply survived by selling its natural resources. First of all, very high quality coal and some non-ferrous metals, particularly rare earth metals. The price of rare earth metals have been growing for a number of years. But it looks like also the Kim dynasty managed to open its coffers and fake the prosperity of the nation by simply pumping lots of money into the system. And I believe it was simply the Kim's dynasty slash fund which was accumulated by the Kim the First and Kim the Second. And for the centennial anniversary of Kim Il-sung, they decided to impress people with very strong growth. New apartment blocks were built.
Right, and ski resorts and the like, as we've seen in recent times. It must be an extraordinary tricky balance to maintain, Dr. Petrov, there between control and prosperity. Dr. Lena Petrov there, he's a Korean studies lecturer at the Australian National University, looking a little inside look there at the extraordinary Kim dynasty in North Korea.